Good morning. This last Tuesday, I met a couple that touched my heart. Their names are Jeremy and Jamie. I can't even tell you their last name, but as I describe them to you, maybe some of you will know who I'm talking about. I was to meet up with Eric, who works for Fellowship of Christian Athletes. You may remember Eric was with us for Vacation Bible School a couple of summers ago, and he and I developed a friendship, and we have kept in touch with each other, and he travels around this region and meets with FCA groups and tries to encourage them and grow them in the Lord. Well, we had made plans to meet at Freddy's for lunch on Tuesday. I got to Freddy's at 11:30 when we were supposed to meet, and Eric wasn't there. And I sat down to wait for him, and time was passing, and my phone rang. It was my son, Jonathan, so it wasn't like my time was being wasted at all. I had a great conversation with my son, Jonathan, probably 20 minutes, and still Eric hadn't shown up. And so I finished that conversation, and I looked at my phone, some of the news headlines for the day, just to catch up what's going on. And probably, I think it was 12:06, I decided, I think Eric's not going to show up. And so I texted him. And I said, I don't know, maybe we miscommunicated, we crossed wires with each other. I'm sitting here at Freddy's. I thought we were going to do lunch today. And he answered me right back. He said, oh, I forgot to write that down. And yes, I'm not going to be there. But he said, I'm over at I Don't Care restaurant across town. He said, why don't you come over here? And I've got a couple of people I want you to meet. And so I texted him back. I said, you're with somebody? I don't really want to step in on your visiting with somebody else. And he said, no, I want you to come. I really want you to meet these people. Well, I'm glad I went, because that's where I met Jeremy and Jamie. They're a young couple. I don't know, maybe 35 years old. Maybe a little older than that, not much. I learned they had been married for 14 years. They have two children, ages 13 and 4. And Jeremy has stage 4 brain cancer. I think he told me that he had been diagnosed with this in 2022. And he's had lots and lots of treatments since that diagnosis. But the cancer continues to progress. And it's really starting to have an effect upon his motor skills. Just 4 days prior to our sitting there eating lunch together, he had to go into a wheelchair. And as we sat there talking, I noticed that he was trying to pick up some of his nachos with his fingers, but he was having trouble doing that. And Eric was feeding him from across the table, bless his heart. I learned they had been basketball buddies years earlier. They reminisced over the lunch table about old times playing basketball together. Jamie had been a cheerleader. And under the circumstances, even though I had just met them, I just had to ask the question if they were Christians. Because here we are, all of this year, 2024, talking about Mission Possible and that we need to be witnesses to people for Jesus Christ. And here I am sitting at a table with someone who's headed towards eternity. And I've just met them, and I don't know where they're at with Jesus. I know they know Eric, and Eric is a strong person of faith. And yet I would have felt bad had I left there and not asked them if they were Christians. So I did. I asked, "Are you guys Christians?" And they immediately, you know, went down that road of saying, "Yes, yes, we are Christians." In fact, they go to the Christian church at Dedrick. And I don't know if Russell and Muriel know them, who I'm talking about. Maybe some others around the auditorium would know who I'm talking about. But they said to me, over the years, they've been youth sponsors. And they've even come here to Reinhardt for Fuse. And the longer I sat there and listened to their story, and as I observed closely what was going on, I felt like I was sitting in the presence of Jesus. Eric was feeding his friend from across the table, and every once in a while, Jamie would reach over and she would just put her hand on his hand and rub it affectionately. And I could imagine, only imagine what's going through their minds. The kinds of emotions that they must be having, because they know where all of this is heading. Pretty fast track, too. Unless Jesus chooses to intervene. And as we sat there, they were talking about a trip to the Smoky Mountains, their favorite place to go. Apparently, they've been there through the years, a time or two. They were going to make one last trip. They were going to leave on Thursday of this week. I hope they were able to. I hope that they're on that trip, and I hope they're having a good time. And as I sat there over that lunch hour, I had tears running down my face, because I could sense such a peace about them. They didn't have seemingly feelings of bitterness over what they had been dealt with. They didn't seem to be living in fear of what the future held for them. They were making the most of each and every day and each moment, holding on to Jesus. And really, that's all one can do in such circumstances, isn't it? To try and grab hold of anything else except Jesus is to grab hold of sinking sand. Because He is our anchor amidst turbulent times. He is our rock amidst times of uncertainty. He is our shelter amidst the storms of life. He is our living hope amidst times of despair. I wouldn't want to go through hardships in life of that degree without Jesus by my side, would you? We need Him desperately. Because for each and every one of us, we do go through hardship. We do go through turbulent times, and we need Him close by. Because He is the one solid rock. Over the last 6 weeks, we have been talking about who is Jesus. And I have for you on the screen what we've talked about over the weeks past. That He is the light of the world. He is the bread of life. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is living water. He is the true vine. Last week I preached to you that He is the Son of Man, the Son of Abraham, and the Son of God. And today I have two more points for you about Jesus. He is the Lamb of God, and He is the Lion of Judah. First of all, He is the Lamb of God. You recall what John the Baptist said of Jesus to his disciples? Jesus is coming to be baptized by John, and John says to his disciples there, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." And maybe you remember the significance of the lamb in the Old Testament. The lamb was used for sacrifice to atone for people's sins. Let me ask you this question. Who was it that made the first blood sacrifice for sins? That's right. Somebody said it. God. God was the one who made the first blood sacrifice for sins. Because Adam and Eve had sinned in the garden, and all of a sudden they realized they were naked, and so they were hiding from God. And what did God do? I tell you what Adam and Eve deserved was they deserved his wrath, but instead of giving them his wrath, he gave to them his grace. He brought them clothes to wear made from garments of skin, according to Genesis chapter 3, verse 21. In other words, likely a lamb. God killed a lamb. And he was the one who made the first blood sacrifice to atone for mankind's sins. Keep in mind, Hebrews 9:22 says, without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sin. It'd be a good study for any of us to just trace through Scripture the sacrificing of a lamb on behalf of mankind's sins. You can see it from beginning all the way through the Old Testament into those gospel records. Genesis chapter 22, Abraham was ascending Mount Moriah to offer his son as a sacrifice according to God's command. And Isaac was old enough to understand that something was missing. There's something missing. If we're going to have a sacrifice, Father, that we have the fire, we have the wood, but where's the lamb? And Abraham said, son, God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering. And God did provide a lamb. Exodus chapter 12, Chris spoke of this time during the communion meditation, that it was Passover time. And for 400 years, God's people had been in slavery. And it was time that God was going to free them from slavery. But before they were to leave Egypt, they were going to have a special meal together, the first meal that would then be an annual meal for them called Passover. And this special meal, there would be a lamb sacrificed. Each household would sacrifice a lamb for atonement for their sins. And they were to take the blood of that lamb and they were to put it on the doorpost of their home and over the door. And the death angel would then pass over that house and have mercy on that house. Jesus then became the Passover lamb, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. If we could have that scripture on the screen, I want you to see that. And his blood was unblemished and untainted by sin. He was and still is today the perfect sacrificial lamb who takes away the sins of the world. I want you to know there is no sin that you or I have committed that his blood can't wash it away. There is no depth that we can fall to that his mercy can't reach us and pull us out of that pit. His blood is sufficient. His sacrifice is enough to save all of us. He took the sins of the whole world upon himself, your sin and my sin. He became sin for us so that we could become the righteousness of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 says. He became sin for us so that we could have the righteousness of God. He is the perfect sacrificial lamb. Would you say this with me? Jesus became our Passover lamb. Let's say it together. Jesus became our Passover lamb. And so it was appropriate that he died during Passover week. The Jewish people on that evening, they were partaking of the first Passover meal together. And then year after year, that custom would happen. And Jesus partook of that Passover meal with his disciples. And it wasn't going to be probably 12 hours longer. And he would be put on a cross. He would be that sacrificial lamb. It's because of Jesus' death that Jeremy and Jamie can have peace amidst their storm. Not that it doesn't hurt. I'm sure it hurts more than words can describe. But Jesus has them just like he has you and me. And he's not going to let go of us all the way to heaven. Whatever you go through, he's got you. And he's got me. All the way to heaven. Let me give to you a second point. Not only is he the Passover lamb, the sacrificial lamb, the lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, but he is also the Lion of Judah. And that was our corn maze theme this year. You saw the picture of the corn maze. And it's really easy to see Judah, but don't miss the picture of the lion above Judah. He was the Lion of Judah. And I had somebody ask me during the corn maze, what's that mean? What's it mean that Jesus is the Lion of Judah? And I had to think about that. A couple of things. One, it's a fulfillment of prophecy that Jesus came from the tribe of Judah. All the way back to Genesis 49, it foretells the coming of the Messiah through the loins of Judah. Do you realize from Genesis 49 to Matthew 1, when Jesus was born, is 1900 years? That prophecy was 1900 years in the making. But you can be guaranteed of this, that when God says something is going to happen, it will happen. Now, in his time frame, not always in our time frame, but you can be guaranteed that when God gives a word to his people, that word will be true, every detail will be fulfilled. And such was the case with Jesus. I mentioned to you last week that Jesus fulfilled more than 300 prophecies. This is one of them. And it's just a reminder to us that God has us. And God's word is true. And every detail of it is going to come to pass because he said it. You know, I can't tell you for sure what's going to happen this afternoon. I think I know what's going to happen this afternoon. You know, I think we'll eat lunch together, and I don't know, I might get a nap. That would be nice. Till about 3:30. And I'll wake up and I'll watch a ball game. And, I think that's what's going to happen. But I can't guarantee it because things change. Phone calls happen. Unexpected things come up. Only God is in control. And when he says the Messiah will come through the tribe of Judah, you can be certain that that's what will happen, even if it is 1900 years later. He will not forget his promise. That's one thing that the Lion of Judah means, is that God's word is fulfilled. He came through the tribe of Judah. But here's the second thing of what it means that Jesus is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. A lion is ferocious. A lion is the king of the jungle. A lion is victorious. And Jesus is all of that. There is no enemy that can stand against him. There is no problem so big that he can't overcome it. There is no struggle, no temptation that he can't help us through it. And in the end, his roar is going to be so loud that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. I like what one old preacher said, Charles Spurgeon. He said, I have a great need for Christ. I have a great Christ for my need. Now that's two sentences you just need to spend a little time thinking about. Let it sink in. Read that in your mind a couple of different times. I have a great need for Christ. I have a great Christ for my need. Just to focus on that first part for a moment, I have a great need for Christ. I am a sinner, and I need a Savior. Jesus, the Lamb of God, is the only one who can take care of that problem for me. Forgiveness is only in him. He gave himself up sacrificially so that I could be set free from the bondage of sin. I just need to put my trust in him. I have a great need for Christ, and so do you. And Brady said this morning in his introductory thoughts, if you're one who's not yet with Christ, do you realize you have a great need that only Christ can fill? And then there's the second part. I have a great Christ for my need. Whatever the need, Jesus, the Lion of Judah, is greater. If I have cancer or some other illness that is getting me down, he's greater. If it's a temptation that keeps whipping my backside, he is greater. It doesn't matter what the temptation is. If it's worry, if it's selfishness, if it's lust, if it's bitterness, if it's a temper problem, if it's an addiction, you name it. Whatever it is, he is greater. And he will give you the victory if you will trust him and hold on to him. If it's a family issue that you have, he is greater. If it's a parenting issue that you have, if it's a child that's gone off over the deep end and you're just worried sick, Jesus is greater. He is the Lion of Judah. I have a great Christ for my need, whatever the need is. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus, the Lamb of God, who takes away my sin. And the Lion of Judah, who helps me walk in victory. I thank you, God, for the opportunity to meet these two folks this last week. Lord, I ask your blessing, your comfort, your strength, your peace upon them. And thank you for the promise of victory for all eternity, for them and for everyone who puts their trust in Jesus. It's in His name we pray. Amen.